Oh, I had also looked at the Biophysical Society. In fact, in the early days, some of us tried to get a kind of a bone biophysics going, but the interest there was more on cellular molecular biology, and so there turned out not to be too much, and eventually I stopped going to those meetings, although I'm still a member of that society. But the principal ones were IEEE EMBS, the BMES, and ASME, which has this biomedical engineering subset. In fact, several of the people here at the earlier meeting of our board on the annals come from the biomechanics type of groups. Because the annals traditionally in the beginning was almost all electrical and systems type. But again, they've spread the purview of that as well. So that was the situation. Early on, for instance, the first thing after getting this training grant, because it was listed as a biomaterials, biomechanics type of thing, and there weren't too many of that type at the time, outside of, you know, the dental materials program, but in more general, I get a call from the National Institute of Health, General Medical Science, National Institute of General Medical Science, would I be available and would I be willing to go down to Houston to look at an artificial heart program between DeBakey and Rice, with the, it was the, still then Baylor Medical, although it was in Houston rather than where Baylor was. And they were very close by to Rice. It was the engineering from Rice. In fact, one of the professors who was there then knows by me, he's remembering my visit 35 years ago. So I said, yeah, I mean, to me, I said, I don't work on artificial heart. I'm working on, they say, no, but we need somebody who knows something about mechanics and biomaterials, because that's what was involved. I said, okay, so I go down. It was an interesting visit. And then the next thing I do is I get an invitation to join the study committee for biomedical engineering training, which was in general medical science, with a bunch of the old-timers, the key names, Bill Siebert from MIT. I can't even remember all the names, but there was an article we wrote when they wanted to drop training that appeared in the IEEE transactions. I can even give you some of the names in that paper, because it was a critical paper, because that's when Nixon was president, and he said, well, look, why should the government pay to train people, because they can go out and make money afterwards? You know, they use the argument of the free marketplace. If you're a farmer selling tomatoes cheaper than the other guy, people are going to buy yours. So if you want to make money, but we pointed out people don't go into fields just to make money. You do it because of the thing that excites you. And so that free market idea is not the way you get good scientists trained. Otherwise, everybody would want to become a lawyer or a physician or something like that, or a stockbroker, right? I mean, you know, it just doesn't work. So The Future of Training in Biomedical Engineering, 1972, IEEE Transactions of Biomedical Engineering, Volume 19, pages 148 to 255. That sounds like too long. Probably 155, made a mistake. Bill Siebert was chairman of the committee. Ernst Attinger was at Virginia. Cox was the head of computing, biomedical computing, at Washington University, St. Louis. Dow, I forget where he was, you would know. Grodens from Southern Cal, who headed up the biomedical engineering program. Hopstetter, who was vice provost for research at the University of Penn, material scientist, and they had one of the other training programs, something like mine. Even though they had a dental school, they brought in the material science people. So that was our committee. You see some of the old-time names, the leading names in biomedical engineering. And so I served on that committee, I guess, from late 60s to early 70s. This article was published, I think, even after my five-year tenure went off.